but to the house of the Lord. It's something about making our day go so much easier. It's something about making your week go so much easier when you come into the house of the Lord. You've heard me say, and I will say it again, it doesn't matter what you and I go through. It doesn't matter if we've lost a loved one. It doesn't matter if we've got cancer. It doesn't matter if our world is crumbling and everybody hates us. It doesn't matter, because it doesn't change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it doesn't matter one thing, whatever comes your way, whatever you're faced with today. And if you're facing something today, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't change your relationship with God. Only you can change that relationship. Only you can make that difference with that relationship. But God will be a faithful God. He will be with you every step of the way. He will not let you down. He will not forsake you. He will not abandon you. He will not jump ship. He will not leave you. He will be there with you closer than a brother or a sister. Why? Because He loves you. Why? Because He gave His Son for you. Why? Because He loves you so much that He doesn't want to leave you where you're at, but He wants you to change, transform, be renewed because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God for the blood of the Lamb, that He is with us every step of the way. Oh, can I hear a praise in the house? Amen. Amen. Today we're going to continue on into our Heaven series, sermon number 7. And so we're getting closer to the end. And if you have missed some of this, you can actually go to our website and pick that up at www.vfclexington.org under media. And you can click right in there if you have missed this Heaven series. And my prayer is, there's something that I have been saying to you and your family to encourage you, to enlighten you a little bit more about what heaven is all about and what we're able to obtain and what we're able to achieve to get there, but we need to know a little bit about it. And so God tells us clearly in His Word a little bit about heaven. We don't know a lot about heaven, but we know a little bit about heaven. And we know a little bit by what the Lord says in His Word that we can understand just a little bit of what heaven will be. I don't know about you, but I want to go see loved ones. Don't you want to go see loved ones? Those that are already in heaven, they're there waiting on us, but we need to know a little bit about it, and we need to be ready to go to meet them where they're at in heaven. So we're going to look at this a little bit. The title of my message today is this: The King is Coming. Amen. I want you to look at this with me. The King is coming. The King is coming. Last week, I talked about, last Sunday, a little bit about heaven. And I talked about the marriage of the Lamb. Remember, I was telling you there's going to be a big marriage in heaven. There's going to be the biggest wedding that you've ever seen. I mean, not even the royal family, not even anybody in the monarch of the UK, is they've got big weddings, but it'll be much bigger than that. That just only scratches the surface of what this wedding is going to be about in heaven. It's going to be the biggest, lavish thing that you've ever seen in your life, and we will be at that wedding, which is the marriage of the Lamb. I left you with 3 points about the marriage of the Lamb. I said that the groom and his gift are described. The groom and his gift are described, and we talked about that. Also, we talked about that the bride and her garments are described. There is a vivid description. It says it clearly in the Word that the bride and her garments are described. And 3, we talked about that the reception meal and the guest are described. It talks about we're going to be there, the guest is going to be there, those that have gone before us is already there, those that will be sitting sitting around the table as well. And again, it lets us know that there is a big wedding that's going to take place that you and I are going to be involved. And we're going to be there as sons and daughters of the Most High God. One day we will be there. So if you would go with me to the book of Revelations today, the 19th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. And I want you to keep your finger there. That's the last book of the Bible, Revelations 19:1. We want to thank those today for joining us as they watch here live today. And so the title is The King is Coming, Heaven Series, Sermon Number 7. And we're going to be looking at Revelations 19:11. Here is the neglected part of the Christmas story. We rightly emphasize the prophecies and the virgin birth. We see clearly in Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign, and behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." Now the title of my message today is The King is Coming. So I'm backing up here a little bit about the King. Let's look at this. We correctly focus on the stable even in Bethlehem. And Micah 5:2, the Bible says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah," which is a word that describes Bethlehem, "though you are little among the thousands of Judea," or Judah, "yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from of old and from everlasting." We often neglect the King and His coming kingdom. A king was born in Bethlehem, as we see, fulfilling the scriptures over and over again, and clearly letting us know that Mary's son is to receive the throne of David. Luke 1:32, "He will be a great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." We also see that the wise men came seeking a newborn king in Matthew, the 2nd chapter. Redemption takes place. The rapture will take place. The revelation, in contrast, begins to take place as we look at this closely. My first point today is this: here is the King, and here is the coming King. Let's look at that. Here is the coming King. Revelations 19:11. I ask you to go there. Watch what takes place. "Now I saw in heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except him. He was clothed with a robe and dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." For those that are taking our Bible our study on the Gospel of John, you're going to see a lot of this that's going to take place on some scriptures today. Let's look at this. "And I saw heaven opened." Christ departed heaven to enter Mary's womb. And yet this was to work the miracle of the redemption. Let me say it again. "And I saw heaven open. Christ has departed heaven to enter into Mary's womb. And this was to work the miracle of redemption." Let's look at this. Philippians 2:5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." I want you to know today that he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's stable. He was a little baby, but yet that was going to be the king, that it was going to be the Messiah, that was going to be the one that was coming to save the world, to bring sin under him, under the cross, and that he would die for all mankind, and that everything was placed upon him, that he would be king and ruler one day. I want you to know today that he died on the cross to redeem us, to bring us to where we need to be. You've heard me say that God wants to bring you to where he wants you, not so much of where you want to go, but he wants to bring you to where he wants you to go. 1 Peter 1 and 18, knowing that you were not redeemed. Look at this, you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold for your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious, here it is, the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. A man that was coming into this world that knew no sin, that never sinned, but all sin was placed on him that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly. Christ is to depart heaven at the rapture and return there with his bride. Let me say it again. Christ is to depart heaven and at the rapture and return there with his bride. I want you to know today that Jesus is preparing a place for you and I. This is not something magical. This is not a myth. This is not just something that we just nonchalant think about, that we don't really care about, that we don't really gonna, that says it, but we don't really believe it. Listen, you can take it to the bank, folks. God is preparing a place for you and I because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is coming back. He's coming back to earth. He's coming to pick the groom up. And he's the groom. He's coming to pick the bride up. The groom and the bride is coming together. There will be a marriage. There will be a wedding. And you and I will be part of it if we are in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13, the Apostle Paul, he writes and says this, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Pastor, what are you saying? Those that have already gone before us, they got to come out of that ground first. We've got to wait if we're alive. If we remain as we are now, we're going to have to wait for them to get out of the ground. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from the heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. Verse 17, "And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." The Apostle Paul says, comfort yourself every day. Remind yourself every day. Go over this in your mind every day to not be ignorant, because this is going to take place. When is it going to take place, Pastor? I don't know. How is it going to take place? I don't know how it's going to take place. Well, what's going to be all in it? I don't know all about what's going to be in it. But I do know that the Apostle Paul says, don't be ignorant. Don't act like it's not going to happen. Don't get yourself tied up in this world about the cares of this world, about what I want to do and how I want to do it and when I want to do it and what I'm going to be and all this, and miss out on heaven, because heaven is being prepared for you and I. If we've accepted Jesus Christ into our heart and life, there is a place called heaven that you and I will go, and you will have a new body. The mortal body that you got is going to take on immortality. There's a brand new body that God's going to build on you, and you'll have no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more weakness, no more will completely vanish, because the King is coming. When He steps on this earth, everything will all be said and done. You heard me last Sunday and I shared, the Bible will be fulfilled. Everything will be completely fulfilled. Everything that you read about, everything that you heard, all the sermons you ever heard, everything that was said about this and that, about heaven and when He's coming, all that will be fulfilled and everything will be done. Listen, Christ will depart from heaven riding on a white horse. Let me say it again. Christ will depart from heaven and He will be riding on a white horse. The rider is faithful and true, is what God's Word says. What does that mean, the rider is faithful and true? It means His sinless life, Jesus Christ. His clothing is and has been dipped in blood, as we've read. It was dipped in blood. That means, that represents that His death on the cross, when His blood has been dipped with the robe. His name, look at this, His name, we talked about this in Bible study here, this name is called the Word of God. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And in Him was life. Look at this, church. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man that was sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear the witness of the light, and that all those him that might believe. And he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light, look at this, a light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made, look, through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, and who was born, look at this, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of the man, but He was born of God, God the Father. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. He became flesh. God's Word is the Word, and the Word became flesh that you and I may have life, to know that the King is coming. Give God praise in the house today. My second point today is this. Here is the commanding King. Here is the commanding King. Revelations 19:13. He was clothed with the robe dipped in blood. representing Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, and the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the white horses. And the armies which were in heaven followed him. Now onward, Christian soldiers, take on a new dimension. These soldiers are clothed in fine white linen. It is clothing of the church as the marriage of the Lamb. Let me say it again. It is the clothing of the church as the marriage of the Lamb. The church will become part of the army of heaven. Look at this, folks. The church will become part of the army in heaven. We will join up with Jesus, and we will be soldiers, and we will fight for the fight that Jesus has died for you and I, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These soldiers follow their great commander. We will follow the great commander as these that will ride the white horse will follow like their king, and they will know that he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He fails not because he is the victory. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They ride with a white horse like their king. We ought to follow our King every day in training for the future to know that He's coming back. He's not coming back for anything less. He's not coming back for anything less, but He's coming back. What He gave, He's coming back for. Christians should move from victory to victory, not from defeat to defeat. We should move from victory to victory, not defeat to defeat. Listen, it doesn't matter. You've heard me say this. It doesn't matter what you see with the eye. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God is in control. God is a God. If He wants what He wants, He'll get what He wants. And if we continue to be faithful, God will help and move and continue to strengthen you day by day. Hallelujah. Bible clearly lets us know in Revelations 19 and 14, and the armies in heaven clothed in a fine linen, white and clean, followed him on the white horses. Here is that commanding king. Third, my point today is this. Here is the conquering king. He's not coming back for you to make himself impressed. He's not trying to impress himself. God is not bringing his son back to this world and to this earth to impress the world around him. He's coming back to conquer the world because he's conquered death, hell, and the grave. He arose on the third day. He's seated with the right hand of the Father, and he is there. And one day he will come off his throne, and he will come get his bride because he's looking for a bride that will stay with him. He's looking for a bride that will sell out to the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He's looking for a bride that's going to say, I love you, Lord, and I serve you. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Hallelujah. Everybody is not going to heaven. The Bible fulfills itself every day. That hell is enlarging itself every day. It doesn't mean that everybody's going to heaven. It doesn't mean that all ways lead to heaven, because all the ways do not lead to heaven. The Bible clearly lets us know. Wide is the gate and narrow is the way. It's wide, but it's a small area.
that you and I must take inventory in our walk with God every day. You do not take inventory on Sunday morning. You do not take inventory on Wednesday night. You take inventory every day, and you keep yourself under the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ, because on that day you got to give an account for all that you said and done. Nobody else is going to do it, but you got to stand there and stand there alone as God begins to judge you. As God begins to judge me. Oh, and there's a lot of mistakes that I have made. There's a lot of mistakes that you have made. There's a lot of things that we have missed. There's a lot of things that you have missed. But the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. My mother, bless her heart, she's dead and gone. Wonderful, wonderful, godly woman. She told me, son, including you, nobody will get past the judgment. Including you. And she looked at me and she said, and you're my pastor, but you'll not get past the judgment. Because the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But when we leave this life, we stand from a God that will judge all of us. My mom and dad can't bail me out. Oh, how she loves her son. How she loved her son. Aunt and uncles can't bail you out. Oh, but what about the pastors right down there? I can't bail you out. You see, now is the time that we make everything right. See, he's given us a vivid description of what heaven's going to be like. And it's a place that we can obtain. It's a place that you and I can go. It's a place that's being prepared for us. It's a place that you and I can be in eternity. But we've got to make sure we get it right down here on earth. And you'll say, well, Pastor, how do you do that? You practice it. You practice on loving. You practice on giving. You practice on doing all the things that you need to do down here day in and day out. You practice on praising. You practice on worshiping. You practice every day of your life. You're to practice it over and over and over. Every day, God is saying, I need you to praise me. Every day, I need you to worship me. Oh, but Pastor, how can we worship a God if I'm going through this and I'm going through that and people are this and people are that and that's this and this is that? Listen, get your mind off of everything in the world and get your mind centered on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm going to heaven come what may, whatever takes place, I'm making heaven my home. Listen, this is what my mother preached to me, and I was her pastor. She would preach to me, son, get your mind off people. Get your mind off of circumstances. Get your mind off of situations. Get your mind off the world. And get your mind on Jesus. And know that He's the one that's going to take you through this world that you live in. Get your mind and get things in order. Get your house in order that you may see Jesus as the heaven open up and that He comes back for His bride. Listen, the Bible clearly lets us know in Revelations 19 and 15, here is the conquering king. Number three, watch this in verse 15. Now out of His mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it He should strike the nations. This is Jesus. And He Himself will rule them, look at this, with a rod of iron. And He Himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of the Almighty God. Folks, the king is coming. He's coming back for his own, but he's coming back with wrath. Look at this. The Almighty God. Verse 16. And he has on his robe, look at this, and on his thigh a name written. As he comes back, it will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The beginning of the Greek alphabet to the end of the Greek alphabet. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. Verse 17, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God. Verse 18, that you may eat the flesh of kings, that the flesh of captains, the flesh of the mighty men, the flesh of horses and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And verse 19, and I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse, against, look, his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshiped his image. These two were cast alive into, look, the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is the king is coming, and he is going to be the ruler of the nations. And nations will rise against nations against him and do everything they can to stop him. But he is coming with the mark that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there will be not enough devils in hell, nor Satan himself can destroy the groom, Jesus Christ, that's coming back for his bride, for there will be destruction like you've never seen before. Our king will be armed with a sharp sword. He conquers all by the power, listen, by the power of his word. The word of God is powerful. The word is sharper, the Bible says, than any two-edged sword. It cuts. The Bible is for reproof. It is instruction. It basically corrects us when we don't want to be corrected. The Bible corrects us and gets us in the right direction. But the word is coming, and the word is going to cut, because the sword is going to cut the nations. We can conquer daily by the same power. Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Revelations 19 and 16 in my closing, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Christ will end the battle of Armageddon. Revelations 19 and 17 says, and then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, and again, the earth's army will gather within the Middle East. The world's military might will be arrayed against Christ at his coming. The world's military might will be arrayed against Christ at his coming. The weapons of earth will be no match for our king. Let me say it again. The world's weapons will be no match for our king. Christians are on their way to an ultimate victory. I want you to know that today. You say, well, Pastor, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about don't. There's no need for you to be worried about anything. But there's no buts to it. You already see it in the book. We have seen how it ends. You have seen how the war will begin and how it will end, and we will end in victory. Listen, the weapons of earth will be no match for our King. They can shoot nuclear. They can do all kinds of stuff. That's not going to matter one bit. That's not going to even mount to a hill of beans. Because when Jesus speaks the word, it's done. When He speaks, it's done. Listen, Christians are on their way to an ultimate victory. Let's expect personal victory every day. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by expecting victory personal every day? Expect victory in your life every day because Jesus has already went through death, hell, and the grave. He is our victory. So no longer do you have to walk around that you don't have victory. You've got victory. You've got victory. You've just got to claim victory. You've just got to claim it in Jesus' name. You've got to speak it out. Though you may not see it, you speak it as though it exists. And you speak it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but by faith, you speak it, you believe it, and you say, I've got victory today. I've got victory tomorrow. I've got victory next week. You can walk in victory. You don't have to walk around in gloom, doom, and agony and defeat. You walk in victory. You hold your head up high, give the world a smile, and know who your God is. He's on His throne, and He's coming back for a bride. So get ready, get right, because He's coming back for you and I. Give Him praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Satan can be and will be conquered by those who belong to the conqueror. Let me say it again. Satan can be conquered by those who belong to the conqueror. Do you belong to Jesus or do you belong to Satan? Do you want to do the works of Jesus or do you want to do the works of Satan? Because I'm going to tell you right now, Satan's already lost. I've done seen it. You've done seen it at the end of the book of the Bible. We've won. Church, we've won. Let me say it again. We have won. We have won the battle. And Jesus is already there in heaven. He's just waiting for us to catch up to where He's at. We may go by the grave, or we may go by the rapture. And I do believe as time goes on, you may live, I may live to be in the rapture. Think about this. Some of you might want to die. You may not die a death. Some of you may want to be 6 foot under. You may not be 6 foot under. You may be in the rapture. I don't know about you, but whatever it is, if it's 6 foot under or if it's by the rapture, I just want to be right and I want to be ready. I just want to be right and I want to be ready. Listen, don't take life for granted. Listen, don't miss heaven for the world. Don't miss heaven for the world because there's nothing down here worth dying for. There's nothing down here. There's nothing down here. Hear me today. There's nothing down here. Yeah, I like nice things like you do. I like to have nice things just like you, but that doesn't mount the hill of beans. I can't take it with me. You can't take it with you. You see, the main important thing is that we know Jesus, that He's in our heart and He's in our life. Stand with me across the building today.